Welcome to Bad Gamers Anonymous, a podcast for bad gamers that's made by bad gamers. We cover the latest in gaming news, game reviews, upcoming releases, and a look at retro titles that made gaming what it is today. Here are your hosts, Bad Gamer Bishop, Bad Gamer Crowley, and Bad Gamer Garrick. Remember, get good scrubs.
Yes, that's right. Welcome to Bad Gamers Anonymous. I am your host, Mr. Crowley. A little under the weather, but I am here, finally. Yes, strep throat sucks for all of you that have forgotten how much it sucks. It does. It sucks really bad. And I am joined, as I am every week, by the peanut butter to my jelly. It's Garrick.
Hi, it's Garrick. I'm the crunchy peanut butter.
Oh, well, you're the crunchy peanut butter, huh? I don't know how I feel about that. I really don't
like it.
It's been a while. I have to apologize. We were supposed to record this last week, but again, I had strep throat. Couldn't really talk. I don't know if you can tell. I'm still under the weather. It'll be a fun drinking game to see how many sniffs and coughs I can't edit out of this podcast. So good luck. Go ahead and hit the pause button. Go get yourself, I don't know, a couple shots of something and have some
Just
fun.
Just a fifth of Jack.
You might take a couple of fifths. Would that be a tenth of Jack then? I don't know how that works, and to be honest, I don't care. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/badgamersanonymous, on Twitter at badgamersanon. You can follow myself at badgamercrowley, and you can follow Garrick at garrickdr. You can also follow us on Instagram. Just search for Bad Gamers Anonymous. And you can email us at badgamerspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to play games with us, and let's be honest, who doesn't? My PSN is crowley76, and Garrick's is garrickdr. You can also see Garrick on Twitch at twitch.com/GarrickDR. So before we get into this episode too far, we want to make a huge announcement. It's huge. It's breaking. It's awesome. Drum roll, please. We are now going to be an every week podcast. That's right. We're going to be pumping out 30-minute podcasts, at the very least 30-minute podcasts. With the way I bloviate, it could be 45 to 50 minutes. Sometimes
an hour and a half,
like the last show I had to break up in two. Every week, we'll do a game of the month every month. Now, this month, game of the month, Gran Turismo Sport. Next month, Battlefront.
Yeah,
can't wait. Oh, so looking forward to that. We may also do an indie or a free-to-play game review, a It Matters to Gamers show, and then a What We're Playing show, where we're kind of just go over everything we're playing that month. And so look forward to that every week. Probably about Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll be able to find it on SoundCloud and iTunes. Again, soundcloud.com/badgamersanonymous, and then just iTunes, search for Bad Gamers Anonymous. You can even probably search for Bad Gamer Crowley. Who knows? Might show up, might not. But as I mentioned earlier, Game of the Month, Gran Turismo Sport, developer Polyphony, the publisher Sony. This is one of the longest running franchises in PlayStation history. How would you describe this as far as titles for PlayStation?
I mean, this is one of Sony's first entries into kind of racing games. I can't think of an earlier example where they've gotten into it. I mean, Nintendo has F-Zero and Mario Kart. Look back at the Sega Genesis. There were games, I'm sure, on there.
But this would be like the torchbearer for racing games.
Exactly.
I would dare say. This is Sony's premier racing game.
It absolutely is.
For over 20 years, and this is, what, the seventh iteration of it?
This is the seventh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
If you don't include Gran Turismo 5 Prologue something, whatever.
Yeah, I don't include any of that spinoff stuff at all. For me, this brings back a lot of Memba Berries, as they say in South Park. A lot of nostalgia for me. I'm not a big racing guy. Like, I don't watch NASCAR. Do you watch NASCAR? Like, are you big?
No.
See, you didn't strike me as a NASCAR kind of guy.
Grew up in Indiana. I was around that scene, but I mean,
yeah, here in Iowa, I mean, you know, we kind of like there's right down the road, a couple hours, the Newton Speedway. I don't care. I don't care. It's never been a thing. And when I was younger, like, cars were my thing. Like, I owned a sports car when I was a teenager. You know, it was 92, 93, I got an 89 Camaro. It wasn't an IROC. It was a Camaro RS. I loved that car. I babied it for the first 5 years I had it. The last 5 years, I beat the holy crap out of that car. But it was fun. It's fun to drive. I you know, the older I got, you kind of lose interest in it. I mean, you know, growing up, I don't know about you, but posters on the wall, you had the Lamborghini with the chick in the bikini.
I had a picture of no chicks in bikinis, but I had a picture of Doc next to his DeLorean.
You know what? I'm gonna let you have it because it's Back to the Future and it's classic. So I'm gonna let you have that, and it's a DeLorean, so you can have Doc next to the DeLorean all day long. But I mean, so in my younger days, when the PlayStation was around and the first iteration of Gran Turismo came out, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I think the second or third Gran Turismo that came out, I purchased. It was a fairly large purchase, but I purchased the steering wheel and the gas pedal and brake pedal and the clutch for it. That whole getup for, I think it was the PlayStation 2 or 3.
Yeah, that was Gran Turismo 3, A-Spec.
There you go.
On PS2.
And I played the crap out of that. And it was great. And to be honest, I think that, I mean, we're going to get into this here because there's a lot about this game. Like, normally when we start talking about a game, we talk about what we like, right? We always say, let's start off with what we like. This is what we like about the game. There is so much not to like about this game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's where we're going to start because there's just a lot of stuff. And I don't know if having that steering wheel and pedal setup would have helped at all. I don't think it would have because a lot of the problems with this game are with how it was made. I mean, I don't think there's any way around it. And I think that to start off, let's just talk about the menu system. I mean, what did you think of the HUD?
I mean, it's definitely a throwback to their older games. The sound effects are the exact same. It still is playing just a whole million tracks of music that just randomly on shuffle in the background. It has that familiarity to it, but there are sub menus within menus within other menus.
And they're not intuitive at all. You know, my big complaint with Fortnite, and I played that on the PC, so I know we're kind of comparing apples and Fuji apple to Gala apple, maybe. I don't know. It's very, very heavy would be a good way, I think, to describe it, much like Fortnite was. Now, Fortnite on the PC was a nightmare, and we talked about how it was even more of a nightmare on the PS4. So
yeah,
this feels like what Fortnite felt like on the PS4. If that makes sense in my coming out of my strep throat haze. It makes sense to me. It's just, it's very hard to get around. And part of the reason that it's hard to get around, I may jump around here on the show notes, Garrick, just for a warning. Part of the reason that I think that it's so hard to get around and maneuver through this menu system is there's so much fluff. And when I talk about fluff in a game, I talk about things that are not necessary to the game. It is there for one reason, one reason only, to make it look pretty. And the museum, the timeline, the taking the pictures, the posting of the pictures, the playing with your car. Like, I get that they want you to feel like you got this car, like you own this car that you bought. Let's just say it's a Viper, a Dodge Viper. Like, I remember coming out of high school, the Dodge Viper was just released, and that was everybody's, what they got a giant boner over. So let's just say it's a Dodge Viper. They want you to go in and they want you to purchase with the in-game currency, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But they want you to purchase with the in-game currency different things to make the car look different and to stand out from other people's cars, to make it your own. And then they want you to take a picture. And they don't just want you to take any kind of picture. They have set up for you all kinds of backgrounds in different cities across the country, across the world, for you to make it unique. And it's just fluff. It doesn't add anything for me to the game. Did it add anything for you to the game?
No, I played around in the photo ops mode and taking it around. And, you know, I spent a good like half hour customizing a scene and putting a super hyper car on the street and messing with the lights and the positioning of him and everything. And then I was like, this just looks fake. So I plugged in one of my cheaper cars, like a 2000 CRV or something, I don't know, coming the other way just to make it look a little bit more believable. And I had fun with it, but it didn't add anything. It was a pretty picture in the end.
Right. I took the Ford Focus to Mount Fuji. Like, who cares? I don't care. There are a ton of cars in this game, and I don't care to take a picture anywhere with any of them. I would rather drive them and have that all that time that the developer put into making that look pretty, which, like you said, looks okay, but it certainly doesn't look believable.
Yeah.
Like, instead of taking the time and doing that, you should have spent your time elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I put a Pagani Huayra in the middle of Tokyo. It's never going to be believable.
The one thing that I was super looking forward to with Gran Turismo Sport was the VR. I thought to myself, if they don't get anything else right, if they get this right, this game, it'll be worth it. Because I got the collector's edition. I got the hard, the steel, the tin.
Yeah, the steel bookcase.
Yeah. Such a waste of money. A waste of money. Because now that we've done this show, I doubt I'll ever play it. I at first I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. They did a good job with the cockpit, making you feel grounded so you don't feel that, it's basically, we talked about this before, it's the opposite of motion sickness, but it has the same effect as motion sickness. So they did a good job at that, which, great, but when you're in a cockpit and it's great, but the menu system is not in VR. So every time you go in to VR mode and you put the VR unit on, you get all strapped in and you turn it on, guess what? You go into the menu and it's 2D. It looks terrible. It looks terrible because it's 2D on what should be a 3D unit. It doesn't translate. The home screen of your PlayStation looks better than the menu system in a game that has a VR mode. So that's number one. Number two, I mean, I'll let you cover this because you pointed it out to me and I went back in. And I was like, holy cow, Garrick's right. This is terrible.
So I noticed it in particular because I was fascinated with the idea of actually being in a car and like looking at my rear view mirror and my side mirrors. And until I realized that as I was looking back, like things were de-rendering, things were going away. They were pop out textures. And I don't know why they couldn't just render the entire map. I would have been okay with a little bit more loading time just so it's all there. It's not like it takes that much graphical processing power.
No.
Sure.
And it's on a PS4 Pro. It's not like we're playing on like the first generation PS4. We are on PS4 Pros.
But it's bad. It looks like the world is ending 10 feet behind your car. And as you're driving through, like whatever you just passed just goes away instantly. And it's really jarring because you wanted to look back and be like, yeah, I just made that sweet turn, except that turn's not there anymore.
Right. And it also does it. I noticed that on some tracks, it will do it on what's in front of you. It will. You can see it right in as you're going, like the old school on PC where you've got this beautiful landscape and then you start running forward. And as you run forward, that beautiful landscape, oh, there was a mountain there. And I should have been able to see the mountain from where I was at. But because of the processing power, it was poorly done. The VR was absolutely poorly done. And then there's a limited amount of cars that you can actually do with VR. It's not like all the cars in the game you can do with VR. There's specific cars that you could do with VR.
Yeah, there's like a total of, what, six?
Yeah, it's not good. It's just not good. And it's not like you can race against a full complement of cars on a racetrack. It's one-on-one. And it's not even one-on-one against anybody. It's one-on-one against the CPU. And to be honest, it sucks.
It's a really easy CPU. Like, no driving challenge whatsoever.
No, none whatsoever. Like, it's just bad. It's just not saying much for this game that this mode is probably my favorite mode in the game. It's just not saying much because there's so much wrong with the mode. If this is my favorite part of the game, guess what? The rest of your game is just terrible.
That said, it is the best VR racing experience on PlayStation VR.
Again, not saying much. I mean, I get that. I get what you're saying, and you're right. Like, there are not a lot of racing titles for the VR. And
there's Drive Club. That's it.
Yeah. You know what? Someone's going to come out with something that's going to blow Gran Turismo away.
Already have. It's called Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, I meant for VR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, trust me, I know. Like, we talked about this doing the show notes. Like, I really want to pick that up now. Because I was talking to somebody, and I don't remember where it was. It may have been in the Cantina Cast Discord. We were talking about Gran Turismo Sport and how amped I was for it. And I just got it, and I was putting it in. And they said that, yeah, they were going to buy it, but then they compared the graphics to the Forza game, and they just laughed. So. Yeah.
It's real bad. I mean, you have Project Cars 2 that just came out that blew it out of the water. You have F1 2017 that is probably the best actual simulation type game. You have the upcoming Need for Speed Payback, which is just going to be a good old good time fun. And you have the Forza 7 that just came out on Xbox One and Windows 10 PC.
I used to love the Need for Speed series.
Me too. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. It's just like kind of went away. You remember, like, it was around the time that franchise started, that Gone in 60 Seconds came out with, what's his name? The actor. Did you ever see Gone in 60 Seconds? Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's such a good movie. A Brother's Love is A Brother's Love. I don't even know what that means, but it's amazing. Great movie. You should watch it.
I say so.
Whatever. Another thing we hated about Gran Turismo Sport is there's no cops. There's no awards for placing. There's nothing. Nothing. You get credits and you get the mileage. Because there's two currencies in this game. It's not like they could have just made one currency. There are two currencies in this game. There's the credits, and those credits are what you use to purchase new cars. And some of these cars are upwards of 3 million credits. Why? It's not like getting that car gives you anything special. So why? I don't know. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, the second credits are the mileage credits or the mile credits or whatever you want to call it. And basically that's how you can tune your car. It's also how you can customize your car to look different than other cars. It's just so ridiculous. Just give me one currency that works across the board. I don't understand why there's multiple currencies. Because if I don't want to spend the time to get to a million credits, then let me use those credits to upgrade cars. Why do I have to do the mileage thing? It's so stupid.
If I had to take a guess, I would say that Gran Turismo Sport was going to have microtransactions, and instead they decided not to do it. They already built the system around two currencies. They just came up with the other one.
It's just silly. It's silly all the way around. I don't understand. Like, if that's the case, then they should have just taken that out all the way. No microtransactions.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't understand it. It's just so dumb. Speaking of dumb, the main game is online only. Do you remember when Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft had their big to-do with gamers, where gamers were all upset that you had to be online to basically play a single-player game?
I mean,
like, that's still a thing. Like, some gamers are, like, still upset. Like, you have to be connected to their server to play a single-player game, even though there's no...
Yeah.
Like,
that's just how games have evolved. Like, what is it called? Games as a service now. That's been the buzzword this year. And
right. But when this first started, there were a lot of people that were upset about it. Because why do I have to be connected? Like, and I get that from a Generation X standpoint, being 40 years old, you know, 40 plus years old, and being like, look, why do I have to have an internet connection if I don't want an internet connection? But now everybody has an internet connection. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
So I get that. But now the main game is online. You have to, in order to like play the game, you've got to play with other players.
Yeah. If you're going to do the sport mode, what Gran Turismo Sport is designed around, it's an online only. Otherwise, you just get a basic arcade experience.
Right. And that's just, it's just silly. And before you can do that, I kind of got a kick out of this. And I don't know if I necessarily hate it, but I kind of hate the way they did it. So before you can go online and race other players, they make you watch a tutorial. Now, I don't care what they call the tutorial, because I don't remember what they call it, because it's pretty forgettable. What they should have called it is how to not be a dick, because it's basically don't run into other people, Don't go too fast around corners, and don't drive generally like you would in a video game.
I'm pretty sure the title of the video was just Racing Etiquette.
How to Not Be a Dick by Gran Turismo Sport. Don't you think that's a better title?
I agree, because and even still, people do it all the time. And half the time it's not on purpose. Half the time it's just, you know, bad drivers. But sometimes it is, and you can tell who's like going in the inside and using you as a bumper to get out all the more fast.
Which, when you do it on with the computer, when you're doing the single player stuff, there's no penalty. There's usually no anything. If you go around a corner too fast, they may dock you a second or two, but whatever. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you're going to make an online game, if you're going to make the main crux of your game online, then you can't penalize players for driving like dicks. You can't.
Unless there's like absolutely zero latency between everything.
Right.
You can't do it. But with everyone racing on the same servers, having different pings, I'm sure their online infrastructure tries to group people together by internet connection, but it doesn't always work.
You can't get sports games in general, and let's make no mistake about it. This is a sport. Driving is a sport. I get it. It's usually just left-hand turns. I mean, unless you're talking about a road course, and I'm not talking about just NASCAR. I mean, there's F1. There's all kinds of different. So driving, racing, it's a sport. So when you're talking about sports games in general, when you're trying to group players together by skill level, it never works. When you're trying to group players together by internet connection, it hardly ever works. So you cannot grade players and dock them for crappy driving or for being crappy. Look, I was playing, I have a league in Madden 18. I was playing in the Super Bowl against one of my friends. And at the end of the first quarter, I lost the game. I'll be up front. I lost the game. I lost the Super Bowl, but I was the Bears. So what do you expect?
Bears.
Stop Bears. At the end of the first quarter, I was up 21-0. It asked him, and it paused the game at the end of the first quarter before the second quarter stopped or started, and it said, the skill level gap between you and the other player is obviously wide. Would you like to quit? Would you like to concede the game? And he's like, yeah, no, I'm going to come back and kill him. And that's what he did. I believe the final score was 35-70. So, you know, good job to Shiner. My point is, you can't. There's just no way to do that. There's no way to make sure that the skill gap between players is so minimal that docking players that can't reach that higher level. It doesn't make sense. It will never make sense until the technology is there for it to make sense, and the technology isn't there yet. It's just very ambitious of them to try to get players to play by those rules. And there's a specific reason why you think that they do this, because you believe it's all about recruiting a team.
Yeah, so they did this a few years back when GT 6 came out. They had what they called GT Academy. And I think it was hosted by Nissan, if I remember correctly. Basically, they took time trials for everyone, and they took the top, like, 16 players and actually invited them out to a course and taught them how to, like, professionally drive race cars. And it was also that Nissan could recruit a new person on their team. This feels just like that, because I think they're doing the same thing. In fact, when you log into Sport and do the Sport mode, it actually pulls up a prompt that says, you know, they can capture footage or take your times and get information from you. And if you're cheating, you're banned and all this stuff. But they also ask for your email address, because if you're a good enough driver, they'll contact you and invite you over to race for somebody, probably Nissan.
So this is just them trying to get somebody to come and pimp their crap because they can play a video game well?
Yeah, they're taking somebody who can play a video game well and making them into an actual race car driver and then actually going around.
Did any of these drivers, now I know you probably don't know the answer to this, but did any of these drivers actually become sponsored drivers and make lots of money and are still on the circuit?
I want to say one, but yeah, I don't know his name.
Right. Dumb. You want to do that on your own time? Fine. Like, if you want to have metrics behind the scenes that you're looking at and going, okay, you know what? These players, these five players here, they're very good. And they're head and shoulders of everybody else. They get it. I just don't understand how using a PlayStation 4 controller translates into driving a car.
Well, the people who are getting these top times, they have an entire bucket seat set up with three pedals, shifter unit, and a high quality force feedback steering wheel. Like, these aren't people using a PS4 controller, like us plebeians.
Like us plebes?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. I don't care. It's not that, you know what? If that's why you're making a video game, stop making a video game. Because this game feels like that's why it was made.
That's exactly how it feels.
Like, you're doing it wrong, Polyphony and Sony. Like, you have. Like, I don't know if any of the developers from the first two or three games worked on this one, but I have a feeling that if they didn't, and if they played this, they cried a lot. Because I know there was a tear that came down my cheek. Each set, another thing we hate, all the tracks have the same sponsored cars for each track.
Yeah.
So when you go into a track, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you're doing the driving tutorial, if you're doing just a race, if you're doing time trial, it doesn't matter what you're doing. There is a set, like six or seven cars that are the same all the time. And they're there at the bottom, and then, like, but if you don't want to use those, hey, feel free to go into your garage here, and you got to move the little mouse thing over and click on your garage, and then go in your garage and figure out which car you can use and which one you want to use. And then, you know, you can only mess with the inner workings of the car you own. You can't do it with a car that's, you know, it's just silly. It's just absolutely silly. Just give me a list of cars that you want, whatever grade, you know, if it's a dirt track, give me just the rally cars that I own, and whatever rally sponsor car, you know, car that you've got sponsored that's a rally car. Like, and just, I don't understand, like, why when I go into a dirt track for just a one player, like, you know, course thing, that like I can choose some Sportster.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, because you get in there and you're just sliding all over the place. It's just absolute. It's silliness. Man,
I think you can put on dirt tires, but it doesn't really help.
It doesn't help at all. Drive. Yeah. No. And I get, like, we'll get into that. I do like all the options they give you to mess with your car, to fine tune it. I like all the options they gave you. I just don't like how they gave them to you. No weather option.
Yeah, this is a weird one, because this year especially, all the other big racing games have been talking about dynamic weather and not just, you know, oh, you can set the rain here and you know, make it cloudy there, whatever time of day you want. They just go in and they change the weather. Halfway through the race, you're just going to experience rain, and you got to deal with it, even though you didn't plan for rain. You don't have rain slick tires on. There's just no weather options in this one.
No, there's not. Like, you can choose the time of day that you race sometimes, and then some of those times of days may be cloudy, but there's never any rain. There's certainly no thunderstorms. There's no wind that affects you.
Yeah,
it's all about, and I get this. It's all about the grip of the tire, but they give you rain tires as an option to put on your car. I don't know why. There's no rain.
I know. All right. Not that I've seen, at least. Maybe that's an in-game content. Maybe
I haven't. Maybe there's going to be some DLC rain. Can I buy some rain with the miles?
Please.
Oh, it's just something. So stupid. Let's talk about what we like, because there's not a lot. I think the controls really worked. They felt very intuitive. They were very customizable to fit any style of play. They did a really good job with all the things they got wrong. They got the controls right.
Yeah. The controls are definitely there. It's nothing weird or obtrusive or out of the ordinary. It feels just like any other racing game. I'm pretty sure Gran Turismo started the standard for racing controls.
So. Yeah, and I think they continue to set that bar. They don't just set the bar. They are the bar. the fine-tuning of the car settings and the ability to fine-tune the vehicle, it's there. My issue with it is twofold. The first one is it's very difficult to find within the menus. Like, for the longest time, I'm sitting here going, why can't I fine-tune a car? Why can't I fine-tune a car? Oh, I have to own the frickin' car first. Then I can go in and fine-tune it. So that's my first issue. The second issue is just finding that option is difficult enough. Now, at the end of a race or before the race there's an icon that you can go into and fine tune the car. However, some of the things that you can fine tune the car with can only be done with mileage points or miles or whatever it is they call them in game. It's dumb. It's the dumbest thing ever. And I just, again, I don't want to go Calm off down. On this rant, but Calm it's down. Just, it's
okay, buddy.
It's silly, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's definitely silly.
And I get why they did it outside of maybe it was a microtransaction that they decided, let's not do those anymore. Because I wouldn't pay real money to fine tune a car. So maybe yeah. somebody went, that maybe not be the best idea. The other thing is it makes you stay in the game and it gives you a reason to drive because you've got to drive, put the miles on if you want to fine tune a vehicle in a certain fashion.
Yeah.
Again, it's poor design, poor execution, and poor design. It's a really good driving simulator. This game is a very good driving simulator. It simulates driving. I wouldn't necessarily say it simulates racing, but it doesn't say that it's a racing simulator. It claims to be a driving simulator.
That is true.
So the tires feel more realistic compared to anything else that I've played recently. You can feel the car slide, jump, drift, understeer, oversteer, especially when in VR, like as bad as the VR mode is, like you feel it and you know, it's just intuitive as far as if you're sliding out, you know how to countersteer, you know, you feel that, especially if it's, you know, if it's a rear wheel drive versus a front wheel drive, like it's just very intuitive. I really like it. I think it really translates well to regular players. Not so much bad gamers like us, but to regular players, I think it would translate very well too.
Yeah, it definitely translates extremely well. I was surprised the first time I started noticing just the understeer going through a corner. Oversteer going into a corner and starting to lose my grip on the roads, and I could like literally see and feel the force feedback in the controller, the tires like gripping and then skipping, and I was almost like
you do, you feel it and you yeah. tense up, and like there are certain aspects of this game that are really good, and I think it is a very pretty game outside of VR. It is a very pretty game. It looks nice. The tracks look nice. The cars look nice. It all looks nice, but maybe you should have spent a little less on the shiny and a little more on the content and the execution of the content.
Just to point it out, like it has 28 tracks. The first Gran Turismo had 11 tracks. The second Gran Turismo had 27 tracks, and that's the lowest it's ever been until now. This game also only has 163 cars in it. That's the second lowest out of all the Gran Turismos. And the lowest is Gran Turismo 1 at 140 cars. The last one, GT6, had 100 tracks and 1,200 more than cars in the game.
And I think there's something to be said where that may have been overkill and they may have missed some things because of that. Like, let's just throw everything we can in here. And I think they did. In some of the previous games that they started, you know, especially after 3. I think after 3, the quality started going down, and I think their thought process on this game is if we streamline it and we make it look really shiny, then everything else is going to be fine, and everything else wasn't fine. It just wasn't, for all the reasons that we've said. Now, for as much as I poo-pooed the museum and the history timelines, they're great, but again, they're just completely unnecessary. They're very nice. It's kind of cool to go through and see all the timelines, but do I care about timelines that have nothing to do about cars when I'm playing a game about cars? No, I don't. The answer is no. I don't. If you were at home listening to this podcast and you were like, well, yeah, I don't see what the problem is, then you were a worse gamer than I. And I'm a bad gamer. That's probably a good point. See,
I need to get good.
Get good, scrubs. It does have some racing exclusives, Toyota, Tesla, Lexus, and you're not going to find in other games. And that's, you know what? If I was Lexus, if I was Tesla, I don't know what I'd do. I would question my life choices at this point. But Toyota, Lexus, you know, if I'm them and Gran Turismo Sport, Sony, and Polyphony, they come to me and they say, hey, we would like to be you guys to be an exclusive in our game. We'd be like, yeah, let's do this. Like, we'll get, you know, 3 or 4 car sales out of this. Your average gamer, we went through this, while they may be in their mid-30s, your average gamer is not driving around on a Lexus.
Yeah, and I thought it was very interesting that Gran Turismo Sport had Toyota and Lexus cars in it, whereas other ones, like Forza 7, for instance, came out earlier this year and had a couple, just because they were part of like a racing team. They didn't actually have like any stock model Toyotas.
Right.
It was very weird.
Well, and look, this game, the other thing they do, like, their concept cars are pretty cool. Like, I think their concept cars are very cool looking. They're fun to drive. And you can, like, there are daily missions. And by daily missions, I mean there's a daily mission. And that's basically just drive X amount of miles. And we'll give you a car every day. And here's the, like, have you figured out what to do with an extra car? Like, let's say you have two of the same model. I don't know what to do with it. Like, can I sell it? Yeah.
I don't think so. I have no idea.
It just sits in my garage, and I'm like, am I supposed to make this one look different than the other one? Because why would I spend time doing that? Let me sell this. So much potential. So much potential. The other thing, like, if there were two just shining, glorious diamonds in a rough, first one would be the controls. Like, we said, that's the very first thing we liked about this game. The very last thing we like about this game, the sound. Of the cars is amazing when you put on the VR helmet and you put on headphones, a good set of headphones, and you hear the roar of that engine. You feel it. Oh, rah, 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 rah. Love it. Absolutely love it. They nailed sounds in this game. Sounds. Yeah. I want to be very clear on what I am referring to. I am referring to car sounds and track sounds. Not in-game music.
I love.
We'll get to that in a second. Do you agree with the sounds? Like the engine
sound?
Yeah, okay.
The sounds are amazing. Hearing the roar of the engines, hearing the pop in the exhaust if you have a super supercharged engine or turbo.
Yep.
Like, you hear all that crystal clear. Extremely immersive.
It absolutely is. And it makes you, I think that's maybe part of the reason why the VR, with all of its issues, is still my favorite part of the game, is just because when you put those headphones on, man, like, you feel like you're in the car and you can kind of forget about the writing in and the popping out of the graphics and all of the things about this game that we talked about, and not having the competition and not having more than one car to race against, and, you know, the menu grab, like, just the sounds, man, it puts you in it. Like, you can almost smell that gasoline. You can smell the burning rubber. Oh, it's beautiful. And if you're a car guy, like, I'm not gonna sit here and poo-poo this game to the point where, if you're a car guy, don't buy the game. If you're a car guy, buy the game. Because there are, it's not a large amount of cars, there are a nice amount of cars in here. They're good cars. They're everyday cars. You can pick up Chargers and Vets and Camaros and Mustangs, you know, and they're fun to drive. And there's a couple Roadsters, there's some Alfa Romeos, there's just fun cars to drive and go on the limited number of tracks that they have all during the day, some at night, but no rain. So there's that. Like, if there's ever an update, you know, where I can maybe, you know, download rain, I'll guess I'll download it. Can I buy it with some mileage? I don't know. Let's talk about what we agree to disagree on. And Garrick touched on it, so I'll let him go first here. Let's talk about the music in this game, Garrick.
I really, really like the music. It's got a wide, diverse range of classics, new, contemporary, prog stuff, like, it's just good to hear a bunch of stuff. There's not a lot of more recent contemporary pop things on there, which is fine by me. Nor is there a lot of, you know, heavier stuff like metal. But a lot of jazz, a lot of smooth jazz, a lot of...
Wait. I want you to say that phrase again, and I want you to think about what you just said.
It's got a lot of music.
No, that's not the phrase. Try again.
That it doesn't have a lot of pop music?
No, that's not it. I think it had the word smooth and jazz in it.
I do like smooth jazz.
Oh, there's something wrong with you. No. I feel like I'm talking to Ron Burgundy, and he's playing the flute. That's kind of what I feel like. Flute. He does play a mean flute. Look, you're right. There's a wide range of music in here, but I'm going to be honest. And before I be honest, I need to put a disclaimer out there because Crowley's about to be offensive. I love Europeans. I love you all. Smithy, my buddy from Germany, I love you. Squall, my homeboy from the UK, you're my boy Blue. I don't have a problem with Europeans in general. However, the music in this game is geared towards European douchebags.
Like, and apparently Garrick.
And Garrick. Are you a European douchebag?
Apparently.
Would you disagree with that statement? Like, look, so America has the bros. Like, you can say America has bro culture, right? Like, yo, Broheim. Right. European has what I call, and it's just a Crowley term, it's the douchebag culture. It's not that they're all douchebags. It's more that they're, think Family Guy and the two German techno guys with the broken English, and like that's who I picture listens to this kind of music. Mm-hmm. European douchebags. And you don't disagree with me, do you?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Now, that being said, I love all my European people. Please don't call me racist or anything or xenophobic, because I'm not. I love you guys. I do. It's just, look, in America, there's this culture, especially when you're talking about cars. Cars, I mean, it's a very American thing to have muscle cars, to want to go fast. It's the Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last mentality. I want to listen to rock and roll. When I am driving a car and it doesn't matter, if I am on a road trip, I want to listen to rock and roll. I want to listen to Metallica, Guns N' Roses. I want to listen to Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith. The list goes on. I like 70s, 80s, 60s, the Beatles. I want to listen to rock and roll. I don't want to listen to whatever it is they put on this soundtrack. Smooth jazz. It's like I'm listening to a light contemporary station in the 90s. What do they call that? It's Muzak. That's what this is. It's Muzak.
Oh God, I love Muzak.
Oh, I hate Muzak. And it's
Have you ever tried to like listen to it? It's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, I did. With this game, I can't do it. It hurts my brain.
Muzak is just it's fun. You try so hard to pay attention to it, and you just get immediately distracted.
Like,
that kind of music.
There are some tracks that I'm like, okay, I can drive to this. And then there are other tracks I'm like, I got to turn it off. I can't do this. Like, turn the music off. Just let me listen to the car.
And that's one thing. I haven't figured out how to actually, like, change tracks.
No, I haven't either.
Or anything. So
everything is so, you know what? If this is a driving simulator, give me a radio, B, a way to change a channel. Let's talk about the driving school, because yes, ladies and gentlemen, out of all the things they put in this game, driving school is one of them. There is a driving school, Garrick.
Now, they've had this same kind of thing in all the Gran Turismo games. You have to earn your licenses. They teach you how to drive before they actually put you out to drive.
Wait.
Okay.
Stop. You're right. They did used to make you earn your licenses. Did you earn any licenses in this instance, in this iteration of their driving school?
Nope. They completely quit with the licenses.
Okay. So we are in agreement on that. So continue. You like this. You think this is a good feature. Why?
I think this is probably the core feature of this game, which is weird. For one, it is under campaign mode. Like, underneath campaign, the first thing is driving school. I like this because no other racing game teaches you how to drive in a racing game. They don't show you how to race. They don't teach you about how to actually let off the accelerator and to hit that apex in a corner and then accelerate out of it. They don't teach you to brake beforehand. They don't teach you anything about actually driving the line. They'll show you the line and they'll be like, brake here, accelerate here. But none of the nuanced things will they teach you, ever. And that's why I really like the driving school, because no matter what racing game you're playing, if you have gone through the entirety of Gran Turismo's driving school, you can translate that to any other racing simulator.
Right, yeah, no, for sure. They tell you how to attack the corner. They tell you how to go into a corner, how to come out of a corner, how to take certain types of corners, like when to slow down. Like, you're right. The driving school is really, it's spot on. However, no matter what racing game you play, And no matter how many licenses you could earn in old school Gran Turismo, none of them teach you how to not drive like a drunk 12-year-old.
Some of it.
No, they don't. Look, that's part of the fun of driving games, is driving like a drunk 12-year-old. I'm sorry. Like, it just
maybe
is.
Maybe Need for Speed.
Oh, dude, like going into a corner, there's nothing more that I enjoy in this game than going into a corner behind somebody and using them as a bumper. Because inevitably, the physics in this game do not work.
It's people like you that cause them to make some racing etiquette videos.
Yeah, you know, out of all the things I've ever claimed to be, I have never claimed to be the guy that didn't need the please don't drive like a dick video. I need that. I really do. But it's fun. I think if you go into one of these lobbies in one of these rooms to race against other people, and it doesn't say competitive, like they didn't put like, hey, this is a competitive race, and they put just for funsies, or they put, you know, let's learn together, or whatever thing they decided to put on there that isn't, I want a clean race, please, let's make this competitive, then you can go in and you can have fun, and I don't think the game should penalize you. But the driving school, it's too much. It's too heavy. There's too much of it. I was like, you know what? Because I started, and you basically, when you start, you only see three or four rows of, I want to say, eight different. So 32. I'm just going to say 32. This is off the top of my head. I didn't do any counting. I didn't take good notes. I had strep throat for the last week and a half. Shut your mouth. So I'm just going to say you see 32 different driving school lessons. We'll call them lessons. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go through these, and I'm going to get gold on all of them. And so I went through maybe, you know, the first 12, maybe 13, 14. I got gold on all of them, you know. And then I was like, I just want to get through this. So then I would get silver or bronze or whatever. And after every eight, you would get a car. Okay, great. That's a good, if you're not giving me a license, at least you're giving me a car that you want me to go in and spend 12 hours, you know, making look pretty for some reason instead of spending time on the track. But sure, okay, whatever. You've given me cars that I'll never drive. And then you get through those, and then there's like another 32. And I'm like, I'm not doing all these. I'm not. I think I have one left in the row before last to do, one lesson, and then I have eight more lessons after that. And I just refuse to do them. I won't do them. I don't care anymore. I don't care what the very last car is. I kind of wanted to see what it is because, you know, I've gotten a couple of million credit cars already from the game, just from, you know, doing things in the game. I don't care. I don't care. It's too much. If it would have been 32 different lessons, Garrick, I would be with you and I'd say, this is great. I think this is great. It's teaching you how to drive. It's doing the thing that you talked about where this game teaches you where other games don't. It's just too much. Do you not think that it's too much? Do you think that let's just say 64 is a good round number for that?
I think it can be overwhelming for somebody who tries to do it all in one go. I think if you take it lesson by lesson.
How many hours have you put in this game? When you saw how bad this game actually is, and we'll give it a rating here in just a moment. When you saw how bad this game is, how much time did you spend in it?
I probably have put a total of, I would say, maybe 10 hours into the game.
Right, and I've been sick for the last 10 days, and I haven't put any time in it while I've been sick. None. Normally when I'm sick, that's all I want to do. I'm just, you know, I want to lay down. I want to pop in whatever new video game I'm playing and play the crap out of that. No, I'm like, I have no desire. I just don't. So I've probably put probably double what you've put into it, but not in the last week. I just don't care. Like I put it in a couple days ago and I put it in, I think maybe yesterday. And other than that, I've just been playing Madden because I don't care. Like, rate this game, Garrick. Gran Turismo Sport for the PlayStation 4, Polyphony, Sony. What are you giving it?
Between a buy it or a blast it, it's a blast it.
Yeah,
buy it.
Yeah, no, just pass. Look, if you're a hardcore, you're a car guy, get it. Sure. I'm not a car guy, so not anymore. So I would pass
as
on
as much
this.
As I really wanted to recommend this game and how much I was excited for it.
It just fell super flat. Don't buy Gran Turismo Sport. That's basic Bad Gamers Anonymous. That's our tip to you. Don't buy it. It's poop.
Yeah. Save your money.
Save your money for next month's game of the month, Battlefront 2. I'm looking forward to this game in general, and if you haven't listened to our Battlefront 2 beta episode, you can check that out. We had Joel from the Cantina Cast on, and it was a good time. One of our most downloaded shows, so thank you very much for all of you out there that listen to it and who are supporting us, and spread the word. We need the love and the likes and the subscribes and the rates. Rate us on wherever you get us. I don't even know. Nor do I care, as long as you listen to us. This is the first show of our weekly content, and we'll be pumping it out every week, I promise, unless I'm sick, and then I may make Garrick just do it by himself from now on. But starting this month, every week. So next week, look for a new Bad Gamers Anonymous on Tuesday or Wednesday. And then next month, Game of the Month, Battlefront 2, like I've said about 18 times. Really excited. Next week, we'll be discussing loot boxes in games because, look, Battlefront 2, that's a big thing, right, Garrick? Like, there are people legitimately out there who are very upset about this, and it sounds like EA has acquiesced to their whining.
That is true.
And I think that this loot box controversy extends beyond the current Battlefront 2 controversy. Real money transaction is something that can affect all gamers in all kinds of games, and we will look into it objectively as I can, and cover how some games are winning and some games are just not winning with real money transactions. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Bad Gamers Anonymous. You can follow us on Twitters at Bad Gamers Anon. Did I say Twitters?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I think I need more NyQuil. You can follow me on Twitter at Bad Gamer Crowley. Garrick at GarrickDR. Also on Google+. We're also on Instagram now. Check us out there. Our email, badgamerspodcast@gmail.com. My PSN, Crowley76. Garrick, your PSN?
GarrickDR. That's GarrickDR.
Oh, I see you spelled it out. Like, if you don't know how to spell Garrick yet, why are you listening to the show?
Seriously.
I don't even
know. It's not Garrett. It's not Derek. It's not Eric. It's not Garlic. It's Garrick.
Garrick. Have you had somebody say, hey, how do you spell your name?
Oh, all the time. I've given up.
I'm sorry. That's like people trying to pronounce my last name. That's why I just, look, just call me Crowley. Like, it's not my real name. It's my gamer tag.
Sure it is.
Sure.
It is definitely your real name.
It's not. I promise. I promise it's not. For Bishop, which hopefully we'll hear from him and get him back in the show and in the mix at some point for him. For my friend and my co-host, Garrick, I am your host, Mr. Crowley. And we will see you next week. What?